Good morning. I love this clock we just saw, and I was thinking that I wished I would have had that when I was a school teacher, and the kids could see the clock and all this talking would stop whenever it got to zero. Didn't work that way, but you do. You just calm down so nice. As the time dropped, everybody just calmed down. But you know, it's so good every Sunday to be able to greet our Christian brothers and sisters. We don't see each other during the week, and it's so good to come together on the Sunday morning and see everybody. So we welcome you here today, and we welcome those who are not here but are observing us through their media. We welcome you, and we're glad that you are a part of us today. We have a few announcements this morning. The first one is about a garden party that's going to occur at Toy Muir's house on May the 11th from 11 to 1. And there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the foyer. So if you want to go to that, please sign up. And she has assured me, as I talked to her earlier, that she's discussed it with powers that be, and there will be no rain on that day. The next announcement we have is a Ladies' Day on May the 21st. Elsion Roberts will be our speaker. And if you plan to attend, please notify and talk to Pat McCrary by the 15th. And along with that Ladies' Day, I have a note that I have been instructed to read verbatim as is, no deviation. Ladies, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the foyer for our Ladies' Day luncheon on May the 21st. Please sign up, and don't forget to grab the recipe. Thank you. So if you go back there and sign up, there are a bunch of recipes attached to the sign-up board. So if you want to make hot tamale pie, there's going to be one that says hot tamale pie. You got to make it according to that particular recipe. Don't deviate. Make it like it is. And so that will make the day much more uniform, and they're going to have a good time at that. Next announcement we have is somewhat sad, but as we all know, and we've been told before, Linda Rodriguez is going to be leaving us as our custodian. She's been here for 9 years, and she is resigning to help her husband as he starts a new business venture. She will continue to be a member at Midway. She's not going anywhere. She just won't be doing what she's done it so well in the past. So we want to remember her and thank her on Fellowship Sunday, May the 29th. We're going to honor her on that particular day for a job well done. Lydia Cleveland will be taking over her custodial duties. Today is Mother's Day, as we all are aware. I found something that really impacted on my thoughts about Mother's Day. It's very brief, but I want you to think about it as you think about your mother. A mother is your first friend. A mother is your best friend, and your mother is your forever friend. Your first friend, your best friend, your forever friend. That's your mother. Think about that, and we all have to stop and remember that they've done a great job bringing us to where we are today. Let us begin now with a word of prayer. Father, as we gather here this morning to worship you, we want to thank you been a beautiful day. It's a good day to be in attendance, to be with brothers and sisters, to worship you and to greet one another. We pray that you will be with each of the men who are part of the service today, that you will bless them with the plan that they've made. We pray, Father, that you will be with those who are not here in physical body, but are here with their minds and hearts. We pray that you will bless each of us, that we will strive to be like you. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry. The terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. The sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor, and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will.
Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm shall sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. About that, I must have made a mistake when I was making that.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come. Come and behold him,
sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
If you have a Bible with you, if you please read from me from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God God is over all. saints see what God hath done.
Good morning. I'll be reading a scripture lesson this morning, and it's going to be Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Before I get into this, let me say that the first verse of this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's not just talking to these 6 and 7 year old children or teenagers or high schoolers, or it's talking to people still young like me, 72 years old. My mother's 93 and I still love and respect it. And that should apply to each and every one of us, even if our parents or in a different state or whatever, they're still our parents and always will be. And we should always remember that our mother gave us birth and that we owe her our respect. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
From 1949 to 1947, there was a 1947, there you go. Got to get my mind caught up. There was a show on CBS called Mama, or I Remember Mama. I don't know if any of you remember that show, but it was about a Norwegian family that came to the United States and settled in San Francisco, and it talked about the different things that they faced as a family. And as the show would open, it was sponsored by Maxwell House, and even back then you would get their slogan, good to the last drop. But it would start off with a picture of an album of a family that the daughter would begin to recall her memories. And so she would open the album up and she would talk about where they lived and remembering her sister and her brother as she would turn the pages of the album, and her father. And then she would always say, but especially, I remember Mama. And the show would start. And you can go on YouTube and you can look at some of these old episodes. A lot of them are missing. But when you begin to reflect on a family, whether you go through an album that's physical or if you go through the photo album of your mind, many of us today are reflecting on our own mothers and our own experiences and our own families. And as we think about our families, we think about a lot of things, but our minds will often go back to our moms. And this week I was thinking about this and I took one of the old church directories, the Owen Mills ones, way back, and began to flip through and think about our mothers here and what makes you so special. Because as we think about family, we know how important that is. And today, we want to say to you, Happy Mother's Day. And we want to appreciate especially what you mean as godly women and godly mothers. And as I turned the pages and thought about some of those moms and the faith that they had, it reminded me of 2 Timothy. Part of that text is about a grandmother and a mother, and they showed their faith to Timothy, and they shared their faith with Timothy, and they sowed the scriptures in the life of Timothy. from a little boy, they taught him. And so in Acts 16, we read that there was a disciple there named Timothy. And we appreciate that about so many of you. And as I flip through the directory, I also recognize that some of the people that are in my class on Sunday mornings in the back were still teenagers when I came here. And now they're married and they're mothers and they've got kids. And that class that I teach represents the good fruit of those mothers and their faith. So, Kevin, I just called you good fruit. And when you look back on a show that was back in the 40s and 50s, and you look at a lot of our families, a lot of things have changed in our world about the way the family is structured. And there are a lot of good things to celebrate about families, but there's also a lot of concern we should have because there has been a big breakdown of the family. And when you think about our world today and teenagers that live in it and our children that are growing up, there's a lot of things to sober us and remind us of the importance of getting back to God's structure and the way the Christian home is supposed to be, following the blueprint of God's Word and the way that structure is. Because a lot of the breakdown happens because the structure has broken down. When you think about some of the statistics, that 3 out of every 10 American girls will get pregnant. Over 750,000 pregnancies. And half of those, close to half of those, 47% or so, will end in abortion. When you think about drug abuse, that high school students, half of all high school students will experiment with drugs. And drug addiction among teenagers is in the millions. And then you think about teen suicide, and you think about the second leading cause of death among 10 to 24-year-olds is suicide. Second to injury, which includes homicide. It's staggering when you think about some of the things that are happening in our world. And how do we solve that problem? We go back to the structure of the home. And the mothers are a part of that. And children are a part of that. And fathers are a part of that. I was driving through, I was running through my neighborhood. And then later I drove through to find out what would go on in the next few days. But I was running through the neighborhood and there was a family that always was doing projects with wood. They'd open their garage up. They had all wood and saws and everything. And they had all their children out in the driveway and they were doing some project. And I was running. I kept thinking, what are they making? So later on, I drove around and you could tell they were making some kind of stand. And a few days later, I was running again through the neighborhood and they were out there and they had a lemonade stand. They were selling lemonade. And they had a sign on the bottom that said, lemonade with Sonic Ice. And I thought, hey, that is a winning combination. Lemonade with Sonic Ice. This morning, I want us to think about some winning combinations as we look at two different texts, one from Proverbs 31 and one from Ephesians 6, but to discover 3 winning combinations for the home. It's needed, it's important, and as we think about Mother's Day, especially in the first point, it reminds us of how valuable and important they are, and take the time to express to people that you know, that you appreciate about the kind of mothers and grandmothers they are. And if you're in this particular congregation, You just don't have your mothers and grandmothers. There's lots of people that will mother you. And that's a good thing about who we are. First of all, in Proverbs, which Kendall read, that gives this description of this virtuous woman who have all these great qualities of resourcefulness and character. When women who fear the Lord, that's a winning combination. Women who fear the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? The text says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. A woman who fears the Lord, who's devout, who is reverent toward God, who respects God. And you think of the woman's character, and you think about her capacity, and you think of all the good things that were read in that text, as Kendall read through that text. It all comes down to, this was a woman who feared the Lord, who revered God, who put Him first. And if you look through the pages of the Bible, there's some people like Deborah, who was a woman who feared the Lord and was a prophetess. She was a spiritual person, and she honored God. And when you get to Samuel, you read about Hannah, and she's a remarkable woman who feared God. And we learn that women of God face problems. And she feared God, and she persevered through her problems. She was infertile. She also dealt with a rival, Peninnah, and there was adversity there. And she persevered through that. Women who fear God persevere through the problems. And she also kept her priorities straight as she faced the pain that she was going through. She sought God, cried out to Him, and told God that she would give her child in service to Him. And then as that promise came true and she had a child, she had great plans. And as she weaned him, she made great plans to bring him to the temple and present him to God. That's what God-fearing women do. And then you get to the New Testament and you read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And those are things that we should look at and aspire to as we strive to be the combination that the home needs now in 2022. We need to set the tone. And those of you who are mothers and grandmothers, women who will be one day mothers and grandmothers, take these passages to heart and show reverence for God. Because that's a winning combination. Now, when I was growing up, my dad and his two sisters, my grandparents, my great-grandmother, we all went to the same church. We could have filled up a pretty big section in this church. I had a great-grandmother, great-grandmother Mac, who I've told you about, who encouraged me when I was growing up, especially to be a preacher. I didn't know it at the time, but one Sunday, all of a sudden, she's sitting by me in church. And she was a God-fearing woman. And when she said something, you paid attention. And I guess that I had gotten a case of the wiggles, and I wasn't behaving right in church. And so I find her sitting by me. Now, later on, I discovered that wherever she sat, it was an indication that whichever grandkid was not doing well in services, they were rotating her around. She was basically my family's first Timothy. I'm writing these things so you know how you ought to act in the household of the faith, right? So she's moving around, and when she sat by me that Sunday, guess what? I started to move a little bit. She put her hand on me. She leaned over and whispered to me, and I just sat there with my eyes forward, not moving the whole time. We even got out of services, and I still wasn't speaking. We got in the car. My dad said, "Are you sick?" Right? That reverence, that that devotion, that devoutness, it's contagious. And we need to get back to that reverence in the church. This is an interesting text that calls women to emphasize what's most important. What does God think? What does God want? And it's not the physical characteristics of this woman that are expressed. What is it? Her character. What's on the inside? The inward beauty that the Bible talks about. That submissive spirit. That's what it focuses on. And we need to remember that. Girls that are in the audience that aren't married yet. I mean, the text is basically expressing to us, maybe I've been hanging around Tony too much, but whatever bait you use, that's the kind of fish you're going to catch. And if you want to catch a bottom feeder, use a night crawler, right? If you want to catch something else, you got to use different kind of bait. And what are young men looking for? You shouldn't be looking for the wrong kind of bait. You should be looking for the character. You should be looking for someone who fears God, who puts God first. It's a reminder to us of what's most important about our character. And I've got a granddaughter that's 5 years old growing up. I want her to focus on, if I can get it to change, there we go, this Proverbs woman. And I know that every time she's around Dee Dee, she's seeing that kind of woman. The church needs us to refocus, recalibrate, re-emphasize the importance of just getting back to the basics. That's what's important. Our world emphasizes things that are not important at all. The Bible emphasizes the things that are right on target and most important. And the Bible says it does matter how you dress. It does matter how you talk. It does matter how you carry yourself. All those things matter. We got to get back to the basics. But the second winning combination is children. Obey and honor their parents. And that's one thing we're doing today. We're honoring mothers, and rightly so. And we should. But children who obey their parents and honor them, that's the right combination. Obey your parents. And what does that mean? The Hebrew word actually kind of carries with it the idea of listening to obey. You're hearing what they say. And in a world that's so misguided and going in the wrong direction, we need to encourage young people to listen to their parents in the Lord. We need to encourage them to listen to people that are telling them the things that God wants them to hear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, back in the Old Testament, that was pretty literal, right? Because if you didn't do certain things, you could get stoned, right? So they kind of, it was pretty obvious. But when we teach the right kind of principles to our kids and they follow those principles, it helps them live a longer life, right? If you tell your kid not to go play in the traffic and they obey that, right, they're keeping themselves safe. We are to give them the right information, the right demonstration, and the right participation in their lives. But children, you need to understand that your part in the family is to submit to your parents, to yield to your parents, to listen to them and obey them and honor them. It's something we all know, but there's a rank that you have in your family, and you need to listen to your parents. And Jesus exemplifies that, doesn't he? He goes to the temple with his parents. They and all their family travel away. Jesus is back having a discussion with the rulers in the temple. His family gets a day away and they realize that Jesus isn't with them. This is God's son in their care, and they go amongst all their relatives and they can't find Jesus. Jesus is missing. If your child is missing, there's panic that sets in, right? One Christmas, we were at a mall, and we were in line to take pictures, and Brendan all of a sudden was gone. And I'm in this big mall in Dallas thinking, oh no, he's abducted. You know, what's happened to him? And finally I find him. He had gone right by the rope where Santa was, and he was just sitting down watching. He was safe and sound, but I wasn't too happy. Mary was no different. She's wondering, Jesus is missing. What's going on? Did he get abducted by robbers? Did he get run over by an ox cart? I mean, these things are going through her mind. She's afraid of what's happened to Jesus. And then they find him, and he's okay. And she says, how could you have done this to us? And what does the text say Jesus did? He went away and was subject to them. That's what you need to do with your parents. You want to really honor your mother? It's not like the two boys that wanted to make, they told their mother, we're going to make dinner for you. So after 9 pots, 11 spoons, a bunch of other dishes in the kitchen, the mother took the bowl, took a bite, and said, that's the best Jell-O I've ever had. If you really want to give a present, listen to your mother. Honor your mother. Obey your mother. And then finally he says, fathers who nurture their children. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Different translations will say different things. One says, bring them up in the, nurture them in the training or the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are not to provoke their children. They're to nurture them and guide them in the right way, considering the way that they're bent. Bring them up in the way that will go, the way that they're bent. Work with them. Show them the right path. Use discipline and use instruction. And one of the realities is a lot of the breakdown of the home in our world today is because fathers are absent. They're not there. They're not doing their job. And fathers need to rise up and do what they're called to do. And that's about nurturing, bringing up their children, not provoking them, but doing it the right way. And we have a great responsibility to give them the time and the nurture. Sometimes we think moms are to do the nurturing. God wants fathers to be involved in the process of giving their children information, demonstration, and participation. And part of it means taking time. Most fathers will acknowledge, statistically, that they don't spend enough time with their kids. The most important thing we can give is our time. Realizing that the father and the relationship he has with his children, his daughters, and his sons is so significant and impactful. I heard an illustration about a preacher that was working for a small church, so he also had to work another job. He was working at a feed processing company, and every day he would come home, he was like covered in the feed processing stuff, all dusty, all dirty. And when he would come home, his boys would always say, Dad, you're so dusty. Yuck. And he would kind of laugh a little bit, grumble a little bit in his head, take a shower. And on Saturday, he was out washing his car. And his little boy, his oldest, was 4 years old. His little boy was over in the driveway. He had picked up some rocks, and he was rubbing them all over his pants. And his dad said, what are you doing? And he said, I want to be dusty like you. And the father thought to himself, if he looks up to me enough to be dusty, he'll look up to me in anything I do and follow that example. What a sobering thought. Our children are going to grow up a lot like us, the way we treat them. Many things they learn are taught. And as parents, if you read the bulletin article, we should realize that what's important is not always what we know or the techniques we use. It's who we are. And if we're disciples of Jesus and we're focused on following Him, denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following Him, that will cover a multitude of sins that we make. And that's what's important, that we focus. I don't know what's flying around. Something's flying around. All of y'all are doing this. And now I'm doing this. And I need you to do this. Don't be distracted. Understand the importance. How's that? All right? I use that for you? Okay. The importance of fathers. And when we get to Father's Day, there's another one coming. But the family. How important is it? There's a winning combination, but there's also a secure combination. When we do the things that we talked about this morning, we build homes that are secure. Just think about it. Most of you would recognize if you walked up to somebody's house, there's a statistic about how many people still don't lock their doors at their houses. Most of us could walk up to a house and we could say, that's not secure, this needs to be done. But what about the spiritual security system of our homes? We need to walk around and examine what our homes are like now in 2022 and compare them to what God's Word says and make sure that we're following the blueprint and that we have homes that are secure. We've learned this morning, women and moms who fear the Lord, that's a winning combination. Children who obey and honor their parents, that's a winning combination. Fathers who nurture their children, that's a winning combination. Are you doing your part? But now let's get to the most important combination, which is a saving combination. If you're at a point where you're asking yourself, what must I do to be saved? The Bible is clear: to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and be faithful to Jesus for the rest of your life. Fully, completely, totally faithful to Jesus. That's the saving combination. I don't know where you are in that combination, but we want to get you from where you are to where you need to be. So when Jesus comes back, He will say, come, good and faithful servant. And if we can help you with any of those, especially to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, may you come. As we stand and sing, and remember today to take the time to think of things you appreciate about your moms and grandmoms and tell them that. Thanks.
Gotta do this for the camera. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend His cause. Maintain the honors of His word, the glory of His cross. Jesus, my God, I know His name. His name is all my trust. Nor will He put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost. Firm as His throne, His promise stands, and He can well secure what I've committed to His hands till the decisive hour. Then will He own my worthless name before His Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint for me a place. Please be seated. Kind of hard to concentrate during that song because I saw a certain someone back there just giving smooches to her mom the whole time. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun.
Good morning. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, there was a couple of thoughts that I had, especially for this time as we're kind of remembering our mothers. We know the journey to the cross that Jesus went through as he was betrayed. He was brought before the many different officials. He was mocked. He was beaten and went through all of this, and then finally taken to the cross where his hands and feet were pierced and he was hanging on the cross. As he was going through all of this, as the light was leaving his eyes, he remembered his mother at that time. In John 19:26, he said, when Jesus saw his mother and his disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to the woman, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. So even in his last moments as he is dying, he made sure his earthly mother was taken care of. And it was one of his many and one of his last acts of love that he showed. And what a great example it was to display that, even in a time you would think that would be the last thing he's thinking of. He thinks of his mother. And John later on in one of his first books, he encapsulates something that I think that encapsulates why we are here this morning in speaking of God. In 1 John 4:19, he said, we love because he loved us. So the reason we are here today is to remember Jesus. We take these emblems to remember the body and blood of Jesus because of the sacrifice that was made for us. God always thought of us first and provided for us and took care of us. And the reason what should come from us out of our hearts is this love because God first loved us. And as we bow to take the bread, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for the life that he gave. We thank you for the sacrifice he made on the cross. We pray as we take this bread that we will reflect on the life that was given for us. We will reflect on the sacrifice that was made for us. As we take this, we pray that we will focus our minds and our hearts on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Father, we again thank you for the sacrifice of your son. We thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross for us. We thank you for what the blood represents in washing away our sins and the pureness of your son that was offered up for us. We pray as we take this cup that we will remember the life that was given for us. In Jesus' name.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Excuse me. If you please take a card from the pew or chair in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the overflow rooms, pass it in. If you're in the auditorium, pass it out. They'll be picked up at this time.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow nor a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Okay, this is the time in our worship where we want to thank the congregation for generously giving back a portion of our blessings to help further God's plan. If you haven't made your contribution yet, there's a box in the foyer, there's a slot in the door, or you can always mail it. And now we're going to go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being our God, for loving us, and given us everything. We have nothing without you. Please help us give a portion of our blessings back to you. Father God, please help us do this with a cheerful heart. Please give the elders wisdom to spend the money wisely and in a manner that is pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.